Hi, Rabbi Juliet here, coming to you from New York City. It's been a really long time. It's been like 6 weeks since I podcasted. Is that a verb? And since I wrote my blog, and I was supposed to post this last week, but I never got to it. A week of upheaval. It's been such a time of upheaval. I got really sick. I got RSV. I'm better now. It took me a long time. I'm on a great healing path in general in my life. But you know, like, people kept reminding me, and I kept reminding myself, the whole world is sick. Everybody is sick, right? There's so much illness going around this winter. As we come, the pandemic, like, are we coming out of it? No. There's more added to it. We're exposed to more. We weren't exposed to enough during the pandemic, you know, with all our mask wearing. And so people are very sick now, and things are hitting hard, and I got hit hard. And also the whole world is sick, like the whole world, regular small WW, and the whole world, big WW, like the world is sick. There's a lot of sickness, not just physical in our particular bodies, but in our environment. Wars going on. Wars. And the world, the earth itself is suffering. Last Monday, I heard this scathing report that came back from the Justice Department on Uvalde, Texas, on the school shooting that happened back in 2022. I mean, this is part of the sickness. And I was so disgusted to hear about the utter failure of local police to prevent the deaths of 19 children and how horrible that was. I was so disgusted to hear again that 400 law enforcement officers stood around for 77 minutes before deciding to go in and help. Did you hear that? I mean, it was horrible. These children were acting like adults, calling repeatedly on the phone for help, speaking to the police, and the adults outside were acting like children, unwilling to go inside and help while they knew what was happening. I was so disgusted to hear about the cowardice of those police who knew what kind of rifle they were dealing with and decided that their own lives were more important than the lives of the children. I mean, I don't blame them, but like, you could hear them on the recording. They had recordings of these police. That's why the Justice Department was able to come out with this report. They were like, from their investigation of it, they're like, oh, he's got a blah, blah, blah. I'm not going in there. I don't want to die today. I mean, literally, a cop was recorded saying that. And also, I was so disgusted to hear about the cowardice of our American politicians who wouldn't side with what can be the only right thing to do, to ban automatic assault rifles of this kind that was used and that are used continually around the country in these mass shootings. They voted against, yet again, preventing such guns from getting into the hands of those who are still barely adults. I mean, the kid was 18 years old. Let alone anyone at all. Who needs that except if they're in a war? And I'm disgusted at the cowardice of these same politicians to even watch the videos of dead children, some of whose faces were blown off. Because they must know that if they saw such images, they couldn't live with themselves. How could they vote the way they voted if they actually saw what was happening in the schools and if they thought about something other than the money in their pockets and their political lives? If they saw these images, they wouldn't be able to live with their political decision to allow such things to continue to happen. And it's amazing how hard their hearts, how much they've allowed their hearts to harden for their own political and economic gains. So I've been thinking a lot over the past weeks when I wasn't writing, when I wasn't blogging and podcasting, about bravery and cowardice. So this came right at the perfect time, just when I decided I have to write, I have to podcast, I have to use my voice. But it's scary. And yeah, I've been afraid. And when the report came out about the women and girls that were raped by Hamas, I was too afraid to read about it or to look at the pictures. People told me, oh, you got to read this. Oh, you got to see this. And other people were like, no, don't. I was really too afraid to look at the photos of beheaded babies. And I've asked myself, you know, by Hamas, by that Hamas attack on October 7th. And I've asked myself, do people really need yet one more rabbi talking about Israel, Palestine, and the war? Because it's like that's all the rabbis are talking about. And it feels like that's all we should be talking about in a way. As a Jewish community, there's this obsession, which is, I'm not going to put judgment on whether it's right or wrong. It's really what's happening, you know? So I've wondered, like, oh, you know, all these weeks, 6 weeks, part of which I was just too sick to even think about writing or reading or you know, talking into a microphone like this. Like, do they need one more rabbi to talk about these things? And do I even have something special and different to say? And yet, week after week, I have listened to sermons that leave me frustrated and angry and disgusted, because it feels like the rabbis are too afraid, even in what are known to be progressive communities. They're too afraid. Maybe it's fear, I don't know, or else they've just completely changed their tune to even mention Palestinian lives lost. And I don't know if they care. Like, I don't really know, because they won't say. All they talk about in synagogue, this is all the sermons I hear, is about the suffering of God, of the suffering of the Jews, the suffering of Israeli Jews, and how hard things are. And it's like there's this, and I think some of them, I hear them sort of going in the direction of maybe caring about the other people, you know, caring about Palestinians as well. And I don't pretend to have any solutions. I really don't. I'm not a negotiator. I'm not a politician. But I think we should at least care. So I don't know if these rabbis even have a little bit of doubt that Israel is fighting a just war in a just way. It's hard to tell by their silence, but the stakes are high. The risk of being attacked, of being canceled or blacklisted as a rabbi for speaking one's mind in a different way from the status quo is very high. People are so angry that they're ready to misinterpret anything you say. And it's frightening. It's frightening for me as a new rabbi. It's frightening for rabbis who are established. I mean, that's why they won't do it. But I've been thinking of what is required of me in this moment in time. I've been thinking about how I will feel if I do not speak my conscience. I mean, isn't that what I was taught by my communist upbringing, to be brave? I don't want to be a coward. So let's get to the Torah reading from last. I'm a few days late. So it's from last week, B'Shalach. And in this Parsha, the Israelites finally walk to their freedom, and they walk through the famous split sea, the wall of water to their left and to their right. This miracle that God makes happen. And as the Egyptians pursue them one last time, Pharaoh's heart is hard as a rock because, well, God makes it that way. So it's God's fault. We can blame God, which makes it even more confusing. Why would God continue to do this, continue to make the Israelites suffer so much when that wouldn't be necessary? Is it just to prove that he's right, just to prove that he's the strongest? This is problematic. It's problematic because it also reflects the way that we think about things. Like, we have to prove that we're strong enough, that we're, yeah, all of those things. And I'm not talking about any particular group. I think this is, I mean, if we think about God as reflecting humanity, then this is true for all of humanity. This is just a primal need that we have to prove that we're strong and stronger and that we can defend ourselves and defend our people. So when the Israelites reach the other side of this river, the Sea of Reeds, they sing the famous song of the sea, the Shirat Hayam, rejoicing at their freedom. And Miriam the prophetess leads the women in dancing as she plays her timbrel. And Pharaoh and the entire Egyptian army have drowned as the walls of water collapse on them, purposely by God, preventing them from reaching the Israelites. And then immediately afterwards, as the Israelites begin to roam through the desert, they struggle with their fears around survival. Will there be enough food and water? But then, well, God makes manna fall from the sky and gives Moses the power to draw clean water from a rock, enough for everyone to drink, all the thousands of Israelites. There's enough for everyone, even double on Fridays for Shabbos. This is a biblical story that has given Jews the strength to go on in spite of discrimination and oppression over millennia. It gave enslaved Americans the hope and the strength to continue on. It gave later generations of Black Americans to the courage to continue to demand freedom and equality. But I think it's important to note that when the Israelites get to the other side, now free, they don't look back. They do not see the utter destruction left behind of bodies floating in the sea. And perhaps they don't have the courage. We have to have some compassion for them. Perhaps the pain would be too great after everything they've gone through. Perhaps their own pain is too deep and overwhelming to see the pain of others. As I thought about it, it seemed similar to the situation in Israel proper at the moment. On Israeli TV, I've been hearing that, you know, numbers of dead Palestinians are posted, but no images are shown of the suffering Gazans are experiencing. And what they see on Israeli news is destroyed and empty buildings, but no people, dead or alive. And I think it's fair to say that in Gaza, the same is true. The Hamas does not show, there's even a doubt that Hamas is, you know, the way they, it's like, no, they didn't, we didn't do this. You know, Hamas didn't do this. We didn't slaughter 1,200 people. That's a lie. You know, so it's happening on both sides. And it's much like, it feels like what happened during the Iraq war after 9/11, that they only read numbers and heard rockets flying or saw these images on TV. They didn't see, like during the Vietnam War, they'd learned their lesson from the fact that TV would show bodies, coffins coming back of American soldiers. That really raised it helped the anti-war movement to grow. And so nobody wants to show what's happening to the other side, because then that would make people doubt what their own government is doing. So, you know, and also, I mean, just to add to that, according to stories that I've read and heard, Israelis near the border with Gaza have become immune to the sound of rockets flying and bombs falling. I read this in a sermon, actually. And at best, they can only wonder if people are dying on the other side. And on the other hand, they can imagine and perhaps rejoice secretly that Hamas is being wiped out with each bomb that falls and each Israeli soldier dead. And their own pain is so deep, the situation is so dire, that out of self-protection, they close and harden their hearts to the other who is suffering. True for both peoples. It takes great courage to look at images of flattened buildings and especially injured and dead children. But Jewish tradition teaches that we are never to rejoice at the death of another, even the enemy. Today, as in the past, Jews worry about the survival of our own people. Today, many Jews cling to Israel as a symbol of the survival of our people. They see the mass demonstrations in support of Palestinian rights and the rise of anti-Semitism around the world as proof that we need Israel in order to survive. I'm not contesting that. I'm just stating it as a fact. But the cost, for me, of survival should not be the utter destruction we're seeing in Gaza. That's how I feel. After the Egyptian army drowns in the sea, and I don't have a solution. Let me say that again. I don't have a solution. But to me, war never brings peace. After the Egyptian army drowns in the sea, those who are actively pursuing the Israelites, God doesn't order the destruction of the civilian Egyptians that are left alive. He doesn't say, go back and kill them. And that's what it looks like is happening now. I know that there's another reason for it. I know what the reason given is for it. But it doesn't seem to be being very successful. And so it makes me doubt whether it's worth it. And if it's more for the political gains of a certain politician in charge, just like our country does that. People, and how much of it is about political gain? Again, political gain. And maybe in this case, with the Israelites and the Egyptians, maybe it's because God has already caused so much destruction and suffering, having already killed so many baby boys, so many Egyptian baby boys. Maybe God realizes in the moment that this time, maybe, just maybe, he's gone too far and that it's time to stop. Because like I said before, war has never, ever been a path to peace. Committing injustice against another, even if injustice has been committed against you, has never, ever been a path towards justice. It just leaves more pain and destruction in its wake. I don't pretend to have the answers. I just wish us all the courage to soften our hearts and look at the destruction, death, and suffering that has happened and is happening. I wish us the courage to soften our hearts to the suffering of that which is not ours. Ours in quotes. Only then will we finally find a path to a lasting peace. I ask you to say amen, and please feel free to leave a comment in the comment section and go to my website, realrabbinyc.com. If you'd like to find out about my other offerings. Until soon. Bye.